The scripture lesson for this morning is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. God will not let your foot be moved. The Lord who keeps you will not slumber. God who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil and will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. These are our sacred stories.
I will lift up my eyes. Americans value independence, and in my 20s, this was a value I wholeheartedly embraced. It was not so long ago that I traveled the world solo. When my daughter was born 4 years ago, there was a tectonic shift in my life. In the best way, it was the end of much of my proud independence. There was not much I was confident about in those early days of parenting, but I knew that I wanted to find a church home. I am fortunate to have found a home here at Covenant. At this stage in life, I'm learning to value community and the strength that comes from the help of others. I believe that family should be a safe haven from the harshness of life. Covenant is like that for me. Here, I'm allowed to take spiritual risks, and I'm supported, just as I am, and my children are celebrated for who they are becoming. Covenant for me is a community of comfort and challenge. Studying Psalm 121 and preparing for today has been a challenge. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. This psalm is often referred to as the traveler's psalm, the idea that everywhere you go, God is there supporting you. Confession, never during any of my many travels has my mind wandered to this psalm. Many people find it comforting. Perhaps you're one of those people. Personally, it makes me feel uncomfortable. When I hear this psalm, I picture the psalmist as speaking with a great deal of confidence. I see someone shouting out the right Sunday school answer. Who helps you? God. The psalmist's confidence makes me feel like my own faith is lacking. Like if I tried to believe harder, then I would find comfort like so many others. But the fact of the matter is that I just often find myself simply sitting with my own unknowing. My own unknowing with this verse begins with the most basic concept of God. I have many questions about what exactly God is. I do find strength and comfort in one of today's hymns. At one of my childhood churches in the fourth or fifth grade, if you memorized 25 hymns, you received your own monogrammed Baptist hymnal. Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise is a hymn that I memorized as a child, and I sing it to my own children regularly. This is one of the best descriptions of God that I know. The first verse is beautiful to me. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. I have many questions, but I find comfort in this grand scale. There are not any solutions here or easy answers, but there is something big and greater than myself. That's what comforts me. My grandfather was a Baptist minister, and he told me that doubt and faith are not in conflict with one another. He said, you cannot have faith without doubt. For many years, I believed that faith was something private. It only existed in intimate moments between me and my God. But now, I think that maybe it's more. As a teenager, I once foolishly engaged my wise and scholarly grandmother in a debate over scripture. During the debate, I was quoting from what I'd heard from others from youth camp. My grandmother became exasperated with me and told me not to be such a sheep and to think for myself. At the time, I thought it was a very strange thing to say because there are so many Bible verses praising sheep. But now that I'm older and I reflect on what she said, I think she was telling me that my faith needs to be grounded in reality. For me, my awakening to what faith fully means is that there's a communal aspect to faith that I have ignored for too long. In preparing for today, I read about how the first two verses of Psalm 21 are in the first person. The psalmist is asking and answering his own question. Then later on in the psalm, it's in the second person, and it's the psalmist's community championing and bolstering the psalmist. They remind the speaker all the way that God supports and keeps God's people safe. It's like this for me too. So often my courage, my faith, comes from small conversations or supportive text messages from family or friends. Perhaps the psalmist was not as confident as I first imagined. Maybe he too needed words of encouragement, and his community was there to remind him that God does not sleep and will be there always. This communal faith is what helped him on his journey. In thinking about faith being communal, my motivation this week came from a stranger in my community. On Tuesday, Hervis Rogers was the last person in line to vote at Texas Southern University. He waited nearly 7 hours until just after 1 a.m. He watched other people walk away, but he stayed to get his vote in. I find strength in that story, but I can acknowledge that you might be discouraged. You might be discouraged by the incompetence and malfeasance that created this situation. There's work to do. Because of recent Supreme Court changes to the Voting Rights Act, the number of polling places in Texas has shrunk dramatically. In Harris County, there are 52 fewer polling places, with communities of color bearing much of the brunt of these closures. Will we lift our eyes to the hills and crumble in despair? I do not think so. I think more people like Hervis will give us the strength to keep going and find a way forward. Faith to me is not blind trust that God or anyone can solve our problems. Faith is the assurance that we love each other enough to keep trying every day.
A few weeks back, the choir sang an anthem at the early service that had been commissioned by Temple Emmanuel to mark the 50th anniversary of Kristallnacht, the night of shattered glass when Nazi stormtroopers broke the windows of the Jewish-owned businesses in the city. The name comes from the fact that the shards of broken glass looked like crystal in the streets the next morning. The lyrics are based on words that Allied forces found written on the walls of a basement in Cologne, Germany, where people had hidden from the Gestapo. The unknown poet wrote these words: "I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. I believe in love, even when I cannot feel it. I believe in God, even when God is silent." Those words profoundly touched me. I had heard them before, but somehow when you put them to music in such a beautiful arrangement, they really touched my heart and part and very soul. And for those of you that didn't get to hear it, David assures us that we're going to sing it at the second service at some point in the future, so maybe you'll get to hear it then. The psalmist assures us that God watches over us all at all times. God watches our coming and our going forever. That is comforting, and yet, what about those times when God is silent? When I got my diagnosis for cancer the first time, I didn't hear God's voice at that moment. My head and my soul were filled with a terrifying silence. When I heard that Reagan had been on that plane that fell from the sky last year, I did not hear God's voice, but I heard and felt God's silence for many days. God's silence is something that is very real, I suspect, for almost everyone. We all have had those moments in the midst of tragedy and loss when it seemed God was silent and not listening, or even present with us. But sometimes I ask myself if God's profound silence isn't a moment of God's most profound presence with us. Barbara Brown Taylor points out that God was silent many times in the Bible, but that the most dramatic silence of God was when Jesus cried out from the cross, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He pleaded for a word, any word, from God that he could no longer hear. She goes on to ask, was God not listening? And her answer is, of course not. But in the silence surrounding his death, Jesus became the best companion for those whose prayers seemed to go unanswered. Those who would give anything just to hear God call them by name. Jesus wanted that too, and he did not get it. What he got instead was a fathomless silence in which to cry out. But she goes on to point out the silence of Jesus. Someone would ask him a question, and rather than answer them, he'd turn around and ask them a question. Up to them, then, to fill in the silence. Or he'd tell a story with a very ambiguous ending where they had to come up with their own answers. She says he didn't mess up the silence of his stories by providing them with the morals. He left the problems in them so that his listeners could experience the silence for themselves. And she also suggests that sometimes perhaps God is silent because we want to do all the talking and none of the listening. Fred Craddock suggests that the voice of God as revealed in Jesus was never a shout, but a whisper. And in order to hear it, we have to be quiet and lean forward and trust that what we hear is the voice of God. Again, I ask, is the moment of God's silence the moment of God's most profound presence with us? I believe for me that is the case. It is the silence of God that I truly get in touch with the God who watches over me, with the God who will not let the sun harm me by day or the moon by night, with the God who watches over our comings and goings, both now and forever on. And it is then that I can lift up my eyes to the hills and know that my help in this life does come from God, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe on the sun even when it is not shining. I believe in love even when I do not feel it. And I believe in God even when God is silent. I believe. I believe.